Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What's up, guys? Your host, Jake Barnes, coming at you on what will be Sunday night. It'll be Monday morning and throughout your new week for most of you. I'm going to be switching up how I approach my podcast, so a little bit more daily content. So you will see if we do a video on here, a live video like a draft prospect video or a mock draft video, which we have done, I will have these up and loaded on the podcast feed. But other nights, Sunday night through Thursday night for a weekly podcast here, I'm going to have guests on. Sometimes I might go solo. Sometimes it might be for 15 minutes. Sometimes it might be for 45 minutes. Just kind of trying to do a daily thing, connect with everybody. And, you know, if you're a pretty avid watcher of the YouTube channel, I'm not really advertising it here. I'd love for you to tune in every night. I'll make note of it on Twitter and do some different things. But I won't be really pushing too hard for this in the evening hours for you to take time. But if you want to sit in and watch a live podcast and go through it with me, I always appreciate that too. And anytime you would want to fire questions or anything like that, feel free to do so. I do not expect to be a great audience, but that's okay. Maybe it'll build up over time and we'll just have kind of some almost fireside Browns chats on this whole podcast setup that is essentially going to be a live YouTube feed as we do each one, because it's a great format for bringing guests in and getting a live look at them. So as I figured, my first kind of, and you know, I guess we'd call it adventure down this avenue, would be to bring back my original co-host, John Colasimo, who brought this podcast idea to me out of the blue. And I think 2018, I don't know. It's been a long time now. He had a great idea and it worked well, and we work well together. And I love to have John on as many times as I can talk to him. I think he's a great person. I think he's a very knowledgeable football mind. And that's why I think it makes the listener better to have him on the show. And he does his own podcast now with Mike Krupka, you know, Hawaii Browns Hui, who is with us several times. You know, they do this Nothing But the Dogs podcast venture, which is one of the best ones in the market. And I'm not blowing smoke up John's butt because he just popped up on the screen or anything. But I'm serious. They do a great job. They have great guests, great content. I was just listening to his rant on Justin Fields from his pod the other day, which was phenomenal. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Jake. I always love to get any excuse necessary to shoot the shit with you, buddy.
I like it, man. Well, this is, like I said, it's informal. We've talked like 5 text messages back and forth about this. I'm not going to make it a big deal. We're just going to have people on, and we're going to just kind of essentially chat about the Browns and any, it could be any NFL topic too that we could have a discussion on as well. So the big thing I kind of want to get into sort of as we start this thing is where the Browns roster is with needing to bring anybody else into the fold. I guess the question here is, like, do you think the Browns need to bring anybody in to go into the draft feeling good? Or are you kind of like, I don't know. I guess if people have thought Clowney was going to sign for a couple weeks. Now, it hasn't happened yet. There could be any number of hiccups to that process. But, like, you know, I just kind of look at it. Do you think they have to? I mean, key is here. What you would like from what you think they have to do. What do you think they have to do in this scenario?
All right. Well, I would say there's nothing they have to do. You know, they got 9 draft picks. They have a lot of ability to fill the few needs, which is amazing to even say that. The few needs that they have on the roster, but in the same respect, legitimately, this is a Super Bowl contending team. That's not a joke. You know, like that's the reality of where the Browns are. So, you know, in the sense of this is a Super Bowl contending team, I think that they probably should at least be heavily exploring filling either the outside cornerback position or the defensive end. I don't think that that's what they brought Tag McKinley in for. I don't think that they brought him in and they're like, oh, yeah, we're set. So, you know, whether it's a Clowney, whether it's a Nelson, you know, like these are guys that they still have options on bringing in. And I think that while they don't need to do it, I think that if you're talking about a team that is in pursuit of a championship, you should be exploring all those options. So, yeah, I hope that they still go ahead and, you know, one of the things with Clowney is that we don't know when he's going to be medically cleared, right?
Yeah, that's a big question because somebody here, Mick the Dog, is asking that question. Why didn't they sign? They have to have the ability to pass him on a physical. So I think that, you know, they're talking to him. There's a process in place. I'm sure there's maybe a time frame where that can happen. And there could be more to it too, John, where maybe he's using the Browns' offers leverage to knock on other doors too, which is totally fine. If a guy's getting a one-year deal, you would want him to go other places and see if anybody else values him at a higher number. So I'm not offended by that at all. But I do think your point is correct that there's probably some sort of medical hurdle that has to happen here where he's recovering from that knee surgery or whatever, and he has to pass a physical to actually sign a contract, and there might be a hold on that. So keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no. I mean, that was pretty much it. You know, like, I think that we're down to a few different guys that they can legitimately go ahead and grab that actually move the needle for this team in 2021 specifically. You know, to me, that's Clowney, it's Nelson, and not a lot else in between. So, you know, whether or not they decide that they're willing to go into the draft, you know, addressing those things, maybe that's it. You know, maybe they're like, okay, we have 9 picks. We can move around. We don't need to overextend ourselves. Or the way that things go in this offseason with this salary cap, maybe they're able to make a deal and bring one of those or both those guys in here. I would love to grab both these guys and enter the draft with absolutely no worries. You know, you sign both those guys, you know, in those kind of deals where, you know, it's a couple million this year and, you know, you're pushing most of that money into the future. But if you did do those things, you know, whatever they can do, maybe it's one of those guys, maybe it's both of those guys, but it's relieving pressure off of the draft class in terms of what you're expecting in 2021. So yeah. I expect them to do at least one of those things. You know, I think that they will address one of those positions before they go into the draft. Maybe they won't. You know, you could also enter the draft and expect to draft guys that you're going to start in 2021. But I think that's the position that they're in, because I don't know that Tech McKinley is the guy that you're expecting to play a full, you know, a full, you know, serving of the entire, you know, of the defense for this year. Or if you're not going to play Troy Hill, I hope, on the outside. I hope that's not their plan. You know, so in regards to those, I think that either we're going to draft guys that we're going to actually start this year. Those are the only positions that we're in danger of starting rookies. And I say in danger because we, you know, this is a legitimate championship quality roster. We're going to actually go into this roster. And Jake, I know, like, and you know that this, you know, that's not something I've ever been able to say, but they're going to go into this year chasing a legitimate championship. So
yeah,
are we going to start rookies at those two spots? Because those are two pretty important spots to start rookies.
Yeah. No, there are certain questions that I have, like how all in are they? How all in do they think they need to be? Do they think it can happen organically? Do they think they need to make a Tampa Bay like push? I'm not totally certain on that. I think there's been some indicators that they are really all in, and there's some that I'm like, okay, maybe they're not entirely like pushing the chips into the middle here. I think some of the things we can clear up before the draft still, if they go out and they sign a defensive end and they want to make sure to alleviate some pressure on any kind of rookie corner. I mean, there's questions that we don't know the answer to as well in terms of like how they view some of these rookies, because even Tampa Bay, you know, you're looking at starting in an important spot at safety with Antoine Winfield. Like, you definitely know, and Tristan Wirfs too, they went into that draft needing Tristan Wirfs. Like, there's certain positions that I guess teams can feel like, hey, we can go draft a guy and we can feel comfortable with it. Is a number two edge a guy that can bring along slowly? Is that something they feel completely comfortable drafting? And they know that Tack can be the third guy with the fourth guy being, you know, Porter Gustin, and feel okay with that. I could certainly get down with that. It's just a matter of if they think there's enough edges in this draft class that can garner that kind of attention and what they want to do with pick 26. Same with corner. Like, this is a really deep corner draft, but there's also some really good corners left on the market. Like, I know Richard Sherman's older, but he's on the market. We're flashing some guys across here like Casey Hayward, Brian Poole, Steven Nelson, who's running across the screen right now from Pittsburgh. Like, there are clearly some guys on the market who can help. It's just a matter of how they feel their draft can change that help. Because I've seen some people tweet out or talk about, like, I only see 7 open rosters. And to me, it's like, I see plenty of open roster spots. I think you're content with some players that I don't think need to be content with. So to me, it's not a very big deal to, like, cut a Sheldrick Redwine. Like, I'm not worried about that. I think you can go out and move some pieces around. And, you know, if, like, if Malcolm Smith doesn't make the roster, he doesn't make the roster. Like, you sign him back, but it was a very cheap deal. And, you know, Mac Wilson will be on the bubble. There's going to be guys on the bubble that they're not used to. So another question I saw somebody ask in our comment section here was wishing they knew what they were thinking about Greedy's health, because that tells the big story. And that's probably nothing we will ever know publicly. They would keep that behind closed doors. Hell, it was kept behind closed doors until Greedy wanted to make it public himself. So it's like, I don't know. The answer to that question is murky, and it probably dictates so much in this upcoming draft is how healthy they think he is. The good part is, like you said, John, Troy Hill, he does have versatility inside and outside, which I think is a really important thing. I don't think a lot of people know this, but he only played outside corner until last year. Like, last year when Nickell Robey-Coleman really left, he got the opportunity to play that inside role with the Rams, because Nickell Robey-Coleman's a good football player. He had a bunch of good seasons in the slot for them in L.A., and they never played him in there. He was a rotational outside corner, gets a chance in the slot and explodes and has a great year. So he is not far removed from being a comfortable outside corner when they need him to be, but there's still more depth that needs to be had there. Can they draft two and feel comfortable with it? There's just a lot of shuffling parts that we need to see come to fruition. So while I like the shape of their roster right now, I would feel a little bit more comfortable if they signed one guy at both of those positions. But as each day kind of passes here, it's getting to the point that I would be a little bit surprised if they do sign somebody before the draft. So the thing that I think people forget about this, because it was such a weird offseason last year, and it's still a weird offseason because of the cap this year, there's a lot of movement that happens in, like, June, July, and even into the training camp sections of things where some veterans sign late. You know, if some guys are still floating around, they come off of that high volume that they're looking for in terms of maybe years or money or whatever. And once you hit training camp, you get guys that are available, and they'll take a little bit less because they've missed some time or whatever the reason is. There's reasons for those things, but those deals do happen post-draft when you kind of take shape of, like, okay, we went into the draft with this plan. We really don't feel comfortable now with corner coming out of the draft. We need to go sign an outside corner. And I think, my opinion, with the shape of what's going on with the salary cap, there will probably be more of those guys available than ever, John. So I'm not going to be one of those people who panic if the Browns don't sign Clowney before the draft. And even if they come out of the draft, like, we're looking at it and we go, man, they didn't really do a ton at edge. Like, they didn't really figure that out, because there are enough guys, I think, still out there, and they'll have enough cap flexibility that I think they can still make something work. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And what's wild is you're 100% right. We might not see the action until after the draft. And actually, even after the draft, we might see guys that we didn't expect to be available all of a sudden available because of the results of those drafts. So yeah. I think it's going to be a very fluid offseason, and we have to be patient. And I don't think that we can be confident in what we're going into this season with until pretty close to opening day.
I'm with it. Well, let's shift. We kind of are going to pick one Browns topic every night, If it's a crazy news day, we'll talk about more, obviously. But we're going to talk, too, about an NFL broad topic, which an NFL broad topic, in my opinion, is this quarterback class. So I'm kind of interested. I'm not, listen, it feels great to not care. Let me put it out there right now that it feels really good to not care about quarterbacks all too much. But it is an interesting quarterback class and probably as deep as we've seen since the Baker Darnold draft in terms of what these guys are viewed as prospects. I'm not talking about going into the season. And if you guys fire off some questions, we'll always do a questions at the end of the podcast here. Just so you know, if you have a question, I kind of take note of them and I'll make sure we get it answered. But yeah, I mean, the good thing is, John, I'll say this as we're talking about these quarterbacks is it's twofold. It's awesome to not have to invest so much time and attention into it. But it's also nice because there could be 5, 6, 7, even 7 quarterbacks taken before the Browns pick at 26. So that's a lot of guys that they're not interested in. So I'm just curious where you come off on this draft. I'm not saying you studied them. I mean, you watched games like I did throughout the year. Just kind of, if you were interested in these guys, who would draw your attention?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Well, what I would say is that this is a pretty darn good draft if you want a quarterback. I think over the course of the many years that we've seen, you know, especially as Browns fans, we often found ourselves just outside of, you know, impact players or impact quarterbacks. This is a very good class, I think, you know, especially when you're talking about Wilson, Fields, obviously at the top of the draft, you have Lawrence, you know, you have Trey Lance. I'm not a big fan of Mac Jones. I think that he's very milquetoast, but, you know, that might be a little, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, but I think that the bottom line is I think this is a pretty good draft to want a quarterback. And I think there's a lot of teams out there that are looking for those quarterbacks. And for the Browns, like you said, I think there's a very good chance at least that 5 of these guys are off the board. And, you know, it's pretty awesome to be able to look at a board, like just top to bottom, and scratch off 5 quarterbacks, offensive line guys, you know, and then we're dealing with a selection of what's left of those. And, you know, that and you have the, you know, the intrigue of what the 49ers did, which, you know, I don't know. I don't think you can oversell this. Like, these guys moved up for thirds. You know, they moved up for the third best quarterback prospect, and I still
think Atlanta comes off pick 4. Someone's going to come up for that pick too. I really think so. Yeah. I really think so. So it's like, I mean, we all watched, most of us here in Ohio. I shouldn't say we all. We have a lot of listeners that cover broad area. Man, we get some people out of country too, which is so cool. We Ohio people, and I'm located in the great city of Columbus. Like, we watched Justin Fields, and I just think, I thought I could easily identify where Dwayne Haskins had issues. I thought when any time pressure, chaos in the pocket arrived, he got so erratic and his throwing motion started to speed up and his arm would get out in front of his body and he didn't generate the torque he needed to on throws often, and it's shown up all over the NFL. And that was before we even knew whatever about the off-field issues that Dwayne was having, the maturity issues, whatever. I never felt that way about Justin. And I don't know if it dates back to watching him on the QB1 stuff, that they put out that great series on Netflix when he was in high school, and kind of watching just how he handled himself. I just really enjoyed everything about his experience that we got to see from his high school senior year. And it carried into how he, you know, handled a tough situation there in Georgia, because it was blatantly obvious he's a more talented quarterback than the guy who was playing in front of him, but he didn't complain. And I just, he just took his lumps. The situation that happened there was unfortunate, and goes to Ohio State and just produces instantly. And like, you know, you can definitely see the difficulty of what Ryan Day runs. And that's why I'm going to be super interested to see how these young quarterbacks they have coming in, you know, Jack Miller and CJ Stroud, handle this stuff, because it's a difficult system. There are a lot of option routes tight end, and their wide receiver talent means that how Ryan Day wants to play is give those wide receivers flexibility to read the field. I mean, I don't think people understand the wide receiver. I mean, we know the wide receiver talent that was at Alabama the last few years, but if you include Olave and Garrett Wilson and then tie in Emeka Egbuike they just brought in, they have Julian Fleming, the top wide receiver in the class before, and Jaden Ballard's in this group, and Jackson, you know, and Jigba Smith, and Jigba's still out. Like, they're loaded at wide receiver from like 1 through 8. So how they the next quarterbacks handle the difficulty in the system that did require the quarterback to process quite a bit is why I think Justin's going to come in and be a pretty good quarterback, even if you want to put him in a wide zone system that has a lot of play action tied to it. I think he's going to be really good. I just do. And, you know, I think Trevor's got a great skill set. I have no issue with taking Trevor first. The way he can run, he avoids injury. He's definitely a leadership type. I have no issue with him being the first pick. But Justin, to me, is a clear-cut second quarterback in the class. And I talked to Steve, Brown's Daily Mock, about, you know, this BYU kid all year before anybody was really talking about him. I'll give Steve credit. He brought him to my attention well before anybody else. So I think he's good. I think he's got a live arm. I think he makes some really difficult throws. I have questions about the competition he faced and his durability. He has been beat up. So is he the third quarterback? Probably. I don't really know enough about Trey Lance, big guy, but I think it's pretty clear that when you come from the level of competition at the minimal amount of starts he did, that threshold for starts, it's like he probably needs the most patience. And then Mac Jones is fine. I mean, he makes some throws. He makes some throws. He sat behind – his start threshold doesn't bother me as much because he sat behind some pretty good quarterbacks at the college level who have gone on to enter the NFL, and their careers are still up in the air. But it's like – I don't blame Mac for not necessarily playing, because I think that there was always a more exciting quarterback prospect in front of him. But can he get the job done? Can he be like Alex Smith in a sense? Sure, I think he can. I think he can do some of those things. He's definitely never a quarterback that I would feel comfortable being the reason we win. But can you win with him? Sure, I think it seems like you can win with him. I'd have to study him more. But he's definitely the fifth quarterback for me in the class. So the rumblings of San Francisco coming up to take him are a bit alarming to me, but who knows? This is all a smoke show right now. Teams are just putting things out there. And I think San Francisco should be, and I hopefully they are the most infatuated with Justin Fields, because I think that him and Shanahan would be a dangerous pairing. Quarterback's ability to do so many fun things, and a coach who can really dial it up too. So, you know, I think Trey Lance is going to be fine. I think he's going to be he has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. Like I said, there's definitely a starting threshold that I prefer quarterbacks to hit a certain number of starts, because that experience is certainly important, and the level of competition stuff is dangerous too. So it's not a knock on Trey Lance. It's more like I think there's just better guys in this class than him from a risk management perception. So, I hope that what's going on, you know, a lot of the stuff on social media about trying to break down Justin Fields and different things, the narratives that are coming out and the, you know, pumping up Zach Wilson, whatever. I think it's all a big smoke and mirror show that happens in the draft process. And I think ultimately we'll look back on it and see that Fields gets drafted pretty high, and we'll just kind of scoff at the notion that some teams are out there trying to put out stuff to help him fall. But it's kind of like I think the funny thing is, this stuff has happened all the time. It's just sort of this backhanded stuff that maybe some people don't notice. It's trope-based stuff or racist. It can even be viewed as racist-based stuff about the quarterback doesn't have it between the ears and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's like those things have been said for so long as a way to get quarterbacks to fall, to move down. What's their work ethic look like? Are they the first one in and out of the building? That I think some people fault to those when they try to put out stuff to agents about trying to get guys to fall, and they don't think about the ramifications of it in this society anymore. And I think that stuff is going to continue to catch up. So how do you get quarterbacks to fall? You know, if you can't put out sneaky backhanded, like, I heard this. Somebody told me that. An NFL exec told me this. An NFL coach heard that. How do you get them to fall? So it's like, you know, if you're Carolina with the eighth pick, it's like, well, let's just kind of send out some stuff on Justin Fields. Maybe he falls. I don't know. I think he's really good. I think it's a really good class, like you said, and I think he's really good, man. So who's your top three guys in this class for you? Rank them.
Well, you know, I don't think it's very much different than anybody else's. You know, just Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and Zach Wilson. I think those are your top three guys. I think that they are quality quarterbacks to be talking about. You know, at the same time, you know, what I would say, you know, in terms of San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. What's really difficult is, and this is what we said, you know, on our podcast, Nothing But the Dogs, but, you know, like, how do you live up to three first round picks? It's tough. You know, I'm not saying like the player, but like for the organization to give up three first round picks and not know exactly which guy you're going to get. That's where, like, oh my God, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. And I don't mean on the player. I mean on the organization. That's tough. Three first round picks on who they're going to take to lead their organization for the next couple of years. So, you know, like I like these three guys. I think I'm a little bit lower on Lawrence than most. I think I'm a little bit lower on Wilson than most. I don't necessarily think that there's the generational guy, but we're going to find out, you know, and I certainly like would never put myself like as the guy, you know. So, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I know better than these guys. But, you know, like when you put three first round picks into the third quarterback of this class.
It's crazy. It's crazy nuts. When you put it like that.
It's really nuts.
Yeah. Well, a question came up here. That wondering if the Browns will take a late quarterback. I know that there's the guidelines, the guardrails the Browns have had that have floated around Twitter. Keep investing in quarterback. I think that they've invested enough for another year. Even if Baker has this knee, a year from hell that we don't expect, I think that they would hold off on drafting and they would draft a guy next year if that were the case. Like,
agreed.
I don't see them taking a guy this year, especially when roster spots are tight. They already have Case for another year where they don't really gain much from letting him go. And it would just be for a spot that would never see the field. So it's like, I'd rather them roll over a late sixth or seventh round pick into next year, try to move that pick to maybe get a pick from some team you think will be a higher sixth or a late round fifth pick, something like that. So I would not be very excited if they burnt one of their picks on a quarterback this year. I just think they're fine, and they definitely have Kyle Loletto as the practice squad guy, and that stuff can shuffle around all the time too. Another question. Since we don't have a ton of room on the roster for rookies, we do try to bundle some picks and move up. This is a good question. It came up the other day. We moved up in a mock draft to go up and get J.C. Horn. He was hovering at pick 19, and I'm like, I think he's great. There are certain select few that I would do that for. Do they have strict guardrails in place where they're never going to move up and go up and get a guy? That's possible. I don't know that. A lot of that to me is, do you think you're a position or two away from winning a Super Bowl? If they view that and think, hey, we need to go get a guy to play corner, this JC is that much better than everybody else available, I'd be more than fine with them moving up. Or if they graded Quiddy Pay that much better than everybody else available, fine, move up, go get them. If you're going to move up, it better be for a valuable position, and it better be for a position you think is close to winning a Super Bowl. So, like, in my opinion, if they traded up, I would be truly surprised. It's more likely, in my opinion, that they would trade up from 59 and go get somebody in the second round and burn maybe one of those extra third-round picks. Maybe there's somebody around pick 42, 40 to 48 that they're really interested in and want to go up and get them. I'd be pretty surprised if they moved in the first round just because of all of the costs it takes to move around the first round. So, listen, they could. I just would be pretty surprised. And, I don't know this. We don't have a ton of room on the roster for rookies. I could sit down and find 10 guys on the roster right now that are very cuttable. I just could. I just think that you could do better all the time. So, like, I'm not afraid of them drafting nine players. A lot of people are talking about they don't have nine rosters. Okay, well, I can tell you nine players that I think they can definitely improve upon to the point that that's a cuttable player. That's just me, though. That's just things I've been talking about. Eventually, I'll write on that, but that's just me. So I'm not really worried about them using nine picks, but I do think it's plausible that they trade up. It's also more plausible, in my opinion, that they trade down and take picks into next year. That's just because of all the one-year deals. Yes. Rolling some picks into next year would not surprise me. Fields will be a real good depending on where he lands. Strong head coach organization. Justin is a prima donna. I was just talking about that. I didn't get a prima donna vibe from him. I didn't. I thought he handled himself well. You got to understand these kids when a kid that's going to Georgia, it's fun to find kids that are super grounded and like beyond humble, but like imagine you're the best athlete in your entire region by like infinite amount. Like Justin was so good at everything. Of course there's going to be a little bit of I'm better than you. Like I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Justin's good. I just think that the way he handles himself isn't necessarily the way that some people love, and that's okay. You know, you don't have to always love the way kids handle themselves, especially at 18. But I was always impressed with how he picked himself up from bad situations, and I was impressed with how he bounced back after two really tough games this past season to put together that Clemson game, and I still thought he played fine against Alabama. So, I'll fall with the bridge if I have to, but I just think he's good. I think he's good. I knew kids around my area that weren't even half the talent of Justin, but they were the best talent in the area, and it's like, it's hard not to have an ego. You know, every player in the league has an ego, but you're right. There can't be, the ego has to have it's got to be a line drawn there at some point, right? You can't rub too many people the wrong way, but I don't know. I like him. I hope it works out. John, we're at our threshold. We hit 30 minutes, bro. This has been fun. This is not the last time. I hope you can join me every Sunday night and we'll make this a thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely love to. And I think that we've got a lot to talk about between now and the season and through the season. This is going to be a fun year, man. This is going to be a fun year. I mean, Cleveland Browns fans have to understand, I'm not sure I've ever walked into a season with a roster like this, and we don't even have the draft to talk about. Yeah. You know, we have to appreciate this is a legitimate Super Bowl contending roster.
Yes, yeah, it's there, man. And they're just adding kind of talent. They're just adding it talent to the opportunity that I think is right in front of them. So, look, there's a couple of you. Make the dog there, Marlena, and I think that was I'm sorry, man. You told me your name in the first comment. Don't get mad at me. Matt Neary, you were great tonight too, Matt. A ton of comments. Listen, I'm going to try to maybe put this out. Maybe more people will want to join and have these fun conversations. Good chance to just talk Browns in the comments and have us answer a few questions too. So appreciate you guys coming on. Appreciate everybody listening. This, like I said, for those of you just listening to the podcast version, this will always be up there. Make sure you're subscribing and giving a review to that podcast channel if you can. And if you're on the YouTube channel, make sure you click subscribe so every time we go live, you see a notification that we are live and you never miss anything. And your subscription to that channel would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And a very cheap $1 for your first month OBR subscription would be lovely as well. So we appreciate your time and sitting around with us and chatting Browns. And we'll listen. I know I will be at least back tomorrow and we'll discuss even more quality Browns content. Appreciate you guys joining. Have a good night. Go Browns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.